Hi, everyone. This is Christian.
This is Sarah.
And we are welcoming you to our podcast series on what does it mean to be a resurrection people?
Great question. That's what we're going to be exploring together. So stay tuned.
I'm so excited.
Yep. And bring your questions because we really want to wrestle with this.
Yes. We want to wrestle with this with you.
Yep. And then guess what? We'll actually get to live being a resurrection people together.
Lord willing.
Amen.
Face to face.
Hopefully.
So join us these next weeks as we together consider what it means to be a resurrection people.
Well, hello, Sarah.
Hi, Christian.
How you doing?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you on our first, our inaugural podcast.
I know. This is really exciting.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So for all of you who are listening, we are across a 6-foot plus table from each other.
We are appropriately social distancing.
We're socially distancing in our essential service of being the church.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So tell folks, what are we doing?
Well, so we've been talking for a while about the possibility of having a podcast. So what we thought we might do is do a series of these like once a week leading up to Pentecost.
Yeah.
And so if people like them,
yeah,
we'll keep doing it. If people don't like them,
we
might still keep doing it. I don't know.
As Christian and I were talking, just so y'all have a little context, you know, obviously we're in this time right now where as the Christian church, we have just been able to move through the Lenten season and into Holy Week to journey with Jesus to the cross. And obviously Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And now in this time, these are the weeks that are the Easter weeks in which we then move up until Pentecost, which is the remembrance of God giving God's Spirit to all the people.
Right.
And so we were just talking about the question about what does it mean to be a resurrection people and what does that look like for us in this time as there's a global pandemic. And, you know, Christian, I know that you right now with the Shelley Rambo work that you and some others in the congregation have been reading, this is a theme that's present for you as well. But that's somehow how we thought, hey, let's actually talk about what does it mean to be a resurrection people?
Yeah. I think that's going to be our kind of definite overarching theme. And I feel like maybe you said this in your Easter morning, but I feel like I saw you say it like on screen on one of our numerous Zoom experiences, but that resurrection was central to your own faith in life.
Yep.
And I'm the same way. I sort of feel the same way. And so we're as a church thinking about the future, right? Thinking about what do we want to, who do we want to be, who are we called to be? And the question about being a resurrection people just seems like a central one to take up. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a people of the resurrection? Mm-hmm. And what could be the pitfalls of some of that? Like if you overemphasize resurrection, does that mean then that you lose the sense of reality, which is broken? Or does it maybe reorient you in your relationship to that brokenness? And that's some of the fruit actually from the Shelley Rambo book. Mm-hmm. That book is not easy to read, but if people have the time and inclination, it pays off. And so I highly recommend that people check it out.
What's the book again?
It's called Resurrecting Wounds.
Mm. Yeah.
And it brings together trauma theory with a reading of the scene with Thomas. Mm. And it really just raises the question, why does Jesus come back with wounds?
Mm.
You know, what does that mean then for us as we live as people who are still wounded and wounding and being wounded? Mm. You know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me about all this is, you know, central to the Christian message is the cross. And yet growing up in the church, this whole topic of what does it mean to be a resurrection people wasn't explicitly talked about. So even though, you know, I had a cross that was given me when I was a little girl, I knew Jesus died on the cross. I knew that resurrection happened and we celebrated Jesus is alive. Really spending time talking about that hadn't been a big part of my own faith. And I have found, which we'll talk a little bit about, I found that as I have really pressed more deeply into what does it mean that central to our faith is not only that God was embodied in human form in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, which is absolutely powerful and amazing. It's also the way, though, that Jesus journeys then to the cross, and what does resurrection mean for our actual lives? You know, does this gospel actually hold good news for our real lives? And so that's in different ways, I think, what we'll be spending some time about, talking about in these next episodes and everything. And so we hope that you'll join in the conversation, and we can all get curious together about what does it mean for us to be a resurrection people? And what does that look like in our own lives and in our time? So we really want to have this conversation with you all, and let's all wrestle. Let's wrestle together with what it means to be a resurrection people. And so we're just going to have this opening conversation around some questions that Christian had spent a little time thinking about. And so I'll ask you the first one, which is, you know, I'd love to hear a little bit from you. Why do you think resurrection is so important for the Christian life and for our faith? Talk about that for you.
Yeah, it's it almost feels honestly like it encapsulates the whole. And so when you, it's such a, even that question feels kind of beguiling, like sort of simple, but like, and I guess the way I think about it is that when God acts to raise Jesus from the dead, it's a number of things, but one of the most central things it is a kind of vindication of that life, right? That, and so it's not just a sort of datum of faith. It's a kind of affirmation that this is the way of life that death cannot defeat. And therefore, it's a kind of clarion call, right? To be a resurrection people is to be people who hear the call, essentially, in the light of the fact that Jesus lives, to live that way. And I was actually just today, because I'm teaching this class here on the Corinthian correspondence, which is rife with resurrection images in both 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And we're in 2nd Corinthians, and there's a little passage in chapter 5 that talks about Jesus's death, but also the fact that now his death and his life, in a sense, is being raised, empowers us and calls upon us, beckons to us to live in that way. And I think then to spread it out, like as someone who's had his own share of traumas and experiences, like probably every person listening to this and who looks at the world, resurrection means that death and the bad guys and evil and hatred does not ultimately get the last word.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about for you?
You know, when people ask you, like, what are the central verses that shape your faith? I'm getting emotional now too. I think the three moments for me historically that are overarching narratives in scripture. One, earliest, John 3:16, God and love. Like, God so loved the world that God gave God's son. The second verse that I think really came to deep awareness for me was from 1 John 4, which again is God is love. So if you're noticing a theme, you've noticed that I tend to think there's something about God and love that's beautiful. But a third place in the New Testament particularly is John 10:10, that I came that they might have life and have it to the full. So I think similar to you, in the midst of my own story, I've known what it means and what it looks like to have resurrection experiences and be reborn. And for me, what that means is similar to what I had said on Sunday morning, that I believe in the resurrection now more than I ever have at any point in my life. And what I mean by that is, I think as I look back on the arc of my own family and my story, and you know, there's a lot of places of some deep pain and trauma that I myself have lived with and through. And as I've done work on those parts of my life, as I've been in therapy, as I've opened myself, as I've been willing to go into the parts of my own experiences that feel like they could just kill me and overwhelm me, and have sought healing for them, I have seen myself get reborn into deeper and truer and more full life in Christ than I had known previously. You know, and I think for me in my family, and I don't think my family's alone in this, I don't think my experience of faith growing up, you know, is unique in any way, where I think sometimes we have told a story about Christianity that is so focused on Easter Sunday and wanting the goodness and trueness of that resurrection life, that what we have downplayed at various points is the reality that so much of our lives, both as individuals and as collective communities, has been mired in the realities of human failing, of pain, of trauma, of wounding, of war, of poverty, of all these different things where we are in deep need of God. But instead of going into those places and really, I think, opening ourselves to trusting that God can possibly show up and bring about resurrection, we've been taught to avoid those places, whether it's through just trying to be strong, whether it's through just trying to pretend that everything's fine. I get all those things. I mean, I was totally that person, you know, as a young and emerging young woman. I was very much like, you know, Jesus loves me, everything's great. But like, it actually wasn't great. It was actually terrible. And so I think in part, I apprehended some of the truth of resurrection life. But as I've done that work to go into the Good Friday darkness of my own life and journey there with Jesus, those are the places where I have been able to experience life more full and more rich and more abundant than I ever even would have thought possible. And so that's why, for me, I think for us to truly be people who claim the name of Christ and bear witness to the resurrection, that we ourselves are called and invited to be a people who journey with Jesus into the places of our own pain and terror, to go into the darkness, into the pits of despair, in order that by so doing, our wounds might be indeed taken up by Jesus, that we can find deeper healing, so that we can truly then show up as the church in the world, because we aren't afraid, because we know that we can sit in the darkness with others the way Jesus sits with us, and then that way we can bear witness both on individual levels and on global and systemic and cultural levels. We can bear witness to the good news that death is never the end of the story, but that indeed resurrection life is something for all of us. And so if we truly want to be Christian, I think we have to be a people who open ourselves to go into those spaces with Jesus, so that then we can indeed be a resurrection people together with him.
Well, there were a couple of things that when you were talking that really resonated with me. One was, and you used that image of something kind of working its way into your bones, that I just have had this sensibility over, I'd say, the last 10 years of my Christian experience, that God really is about life, that's the fundamental orientation. But it's not just bare existence, it's flourishing life. It's life in communion, fellowship with one another, and that the resurrection is a sort of intrusion into a world that has sort of come into grips, or, you know, been interrupted by, you know, the powers of death. And God's like, no. And God's no is such an, is a no that is not from the outside, it's from within. And it's not a sheer kind of exercise of will. It's the way of the suffering servant. And I think the other thing that has really struck me, you know, when thinking about the resurrection, and this was even before we started working through the Shelley Rambo book that I mentioned like five times now, is that that Jesus comes back with his, with these scars. And what that means is that history matters, mm-hmm. that our lives now matter to God, mm-hmm. that they're not just sort of the waiting room to eternity, mm-hmm. which is sort of the way sometimes this life is kind of configured, but that there's something significant and substantial about this life. You know, and Paul makes this really strong argument that our bodies matter in 1 Corinthians when he emphasizes bodily resurrection. And I think it's even more that it's this sense of place and space and time and our histories, you know, that those things matter, that God intends to resurrect those things and to redeem them. And that means then that the deepest, darkest fears and the most inflicted pain will not be left untended, right? That resurrection means somehow it will be redeemed. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how, mm-hmm. but...
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things you had like queued us up to think about or talk about is, you know, just the question, well, so, you know, can there be a danger of over-focusing on resurrection? I'm actually really curious because what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think one of the things that Christians often get accused of, and rightly, is that we can be kind of triumphalistic, you know, and so an overemphasis on resurrection or a way in which we like decouple resurrection from Holy Saturday and Good Friday, you know, can lead us in a direction that is unrealistic, Pollyannish, mm-hmm. you know, really sort of like what we might call optimism masquerading as actual hope, which is not the same thing.
Optimism masquerading as actual hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Optimism is sort of things have been bad, but they'll be better. You know, the odds are, you know, stacked in that way, you know, up and down. And optimism, there's nothing wrong with being optimistic, but it's not the same thing as the way that the biblical authors talk about hope.
Right.
Right. And even that phrase, hope against hope, captures that sensibility, I think. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think that was kind of where I was coming
Absolutely.
From with that.
Okay. I kind of figured that that's, you know, that's what you would say or think. And it's, you know, interesting going back to what I was sharing. I mean, I think what I would say is that when we rightly understand what resurrection means inside of the Christian story, which includes God coming to earth and taking on human form and taking up all of the places of suffering and pain and all of the knowings that we have as humans as well. When resurrection includes that, when resurrection includes Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, when resurrection includes being tortured and hung on a cross, when resurrection includes going into the deepest place of darkness where God's silence and God's absence is felt by ourselves, my God, why have you forsaken me? Mm. That when resurrection includes all of that, then I'm like, well, no, there's no problem. Like that's central right. to our message, actually. Right. But to what you were, you know, to what you were just saying and some of what I had named for my own story is the recognition that when, you know, Jesus is just kind of a pill or something that's more like a cotton candy way to help us to not have to deal with pain, which I get why we do that. It's not that that's bad. It's just, I think, incomplete. It doesn't embrace the fullness of the resurrection story. And in fact, it can then involve particular sorts of violences against ourselves and against our neighbors because we're so busy insulating ourselves from the terror instead of actually letting Jesus heal us in the midst of that. And so if we actually hold those things and allow God to bring us into true resurrection life, you know, if we do that, then amen. You
know? Well, but, and then, and as you said, and then pushing us into the spaces of brokenness in the world.
Yeah.
Because if you do the other one, if it's just the pill, it's almost always like, I've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
You know, everything's fine. Like here's some Jesus Kool-Aid for you.
Yeah.
As opposed to like learning how to be be people who acknowledge our own wounds and our own ability and our own history of wounding others.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we do that, we then can become people who can help others, or we can be witnesses to others who name that same story, right? Are able to say that same kind of thing. And it's in that, right? It's in that process of those stories and coming into a new relationship with that history that the sort of the healing seems to start. That seems to be sort of the process.
Yeah. No, that's great.
That's really great. So, you know, we've been talking about being a resurrection people, but like, what does resurrection actually mean? And what does it mean to be a resurrection people? What would you say to that?
Well,
you know, small questions here.
Well, I think we've kind of danced. I think we've kind of wrestled with, you had some great thoughts there about what does it mean to be a resurrection people? I mean, when I tend to think about resurrection, it's the coming back. Right. It's this notion that God will restore. And so it's not, when we talk about just even the resurrection of Jesus, we're not talking so much about a resuscitated corpse. Because there is a sense in which there's a profound discontinuity, right? It's unexpected, unplanned for, beyond imagining to a certain extent. That's what it is. That's how it's experienced by the disciples. And I think we've domesticated it in a certain kind of way because it's just sort of, oh, the resurrection comes after Good Friday. But like, they were like in a ditch with nowhere to go. With no, I mean, yeah, maybe they'd heard a little bit of, you know, something, and they'd certainly seen the miracles or whatever, I suppose, of Jesus, but, and it breaks in on them. And so it does something in a way that's just a novum, a new, radically new thing that's not anticipated. And yet, in that kind of radical discontinuity, there is continuity because it's actually Jesus with the wounds, with the history. And so it's a sort of bringing back in that sense. That's the way at least I think about resurrection in terms of when I think about it, I tend to think primarily in and through sort of a lens of trying to the logic of what it is that happened to Jesus. So then what it would become, I suppose, for resurrection people is learning how to grapple with the significance of those things, which I think you were really pulling out when you were talking about, right, sitting with the wounds, sitting with the histories, and in that sitting, being put in a new posture with them, because you're sitting there not alone, you're sitting there with God, who is healing or maybe holding would be a better way, those memories. Because the question about healing, you know, that obviously is complicated too, I suppose.
That we'll have to talk more about that. That would be really like, which I think we definitely will. And, you know, I mean, I resonate with so much of what you said. And I think for Christians, like rooting that sense of what resurrection is as, I mean, resurrection literally is the rising, the coming back from the death, the coming back from that place. And I think that there is both a literal and like literal in holistic sort of embodied ways that resurrection, like what that life means and looks like. So when I speak of resurrection, I'm both speaking about Jesus' resurrection, but I'm also speaking about the places in our own lives where we come back from places of certain death in our own stories. And so there's like spiritual resurrection, psychological resurrection, there's embodied resurrection, there's resurrection for peoples who've been oppressed, there's resurrection for communities that thought it was the end of the story. And so resurrection, I really resonate with how you said that it's that coming back from, and it's that coming back from death. And it's that reminder that death isn't the end of any story. And that's where I think then we get the, oh, death, where is thy sting? Because to go into the darkness exposes the reality that death isn't actually a permanent thing, and it actually has less power. And so that's, you know, even some of what I'm excited about to talk a little bit more about what does that mean in our lives, you know, and how do we live into that? But I think fundamentally with you, I agree that to be a resurrection people is then to be a people who live our lives in concert with, in alignment with that story and that reality that we, with our lives then, are professing and working out resurrection life. And I love the idea of a resurrection people. It also reminds us that resurrection isn't just something we do as solitary selves, but we do it in community. To be a resurrection people asks us as people to each bearing witness, you know, to the cross and to what it means that God in Christ has risen, to then tell each other those stories about how that happens and is happening in our lives. And then we collectively become a body who then bears witness to that. And so I love that language of being a resurrection people, because it reminds us that the resurrection isn't ever just for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's for how we then bear witness to that with one another.
So thanks so much for joining us. And stay tuned next week as we welcome Organic Bob to talk about resurrection and new creation. And please follow Colonial Church on Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube so we can continue the conversation with one another. We'd love to hear your thoughts. What does it mean to be a resurrection people? Share that through your own social media and be sure to tag Colonial Church. Let's be a resurrection people together. This has been a Village production for Colonial Church. Visit us online at www.colonialchurch.org.